I know most of you, but I don't know everyone. I don't know this little one, because she probably didn't exist last time I was here. How old is?
She's about 5 months. She's not mine, though.
5 months, okay. But anyway, it's a delight to have new life. The reason I say I know most of you, because most of you know the Anuim style is to focus on the word. We dedicate ourselves to pondering the word, the liturgical word, and we will do that in a moment. But I also want to remind you of the broader context of the life of the church, because what we're really doing when we ponder the word is we're entering into the life of the church, the prayer life of the church, the pondering of the church. And the church doesn't limit herself to the word of the day, but to all the mysteries. That's why we pray the rosary, that's why we honor the saints, that's why we have liturgical seasons. Anyway, I mention this because today, October 12, is the feast day of two people, one of whom you know, but you might not know her by this name, and another you might not know. They're both on October 12. One is old and one is new. So I'm just mentioning this to share the breadth of the church's life. The old is Our Lady of the Pillar. Today is the feast of Our Lady of the Pillar. You familiar with that devotion? Maybe anyone with a background in Spanish evangelization would know it, because she's very well loved in Spain, which is where the shrine is, Nuestra Señora del Pilar, and in the Philippines, because the Philippines were evangelized by the Spanish. So anyway, this tradition is that Mary appeared to the Apostle James in the year 40. So the surprising thing about this is that Mary was still alive and living in the Holy Land, and James was in Spain, according to the tradition. And so this is according to the tradition, the first occasion of bilocation. So Mary's apparition before she even died. Anyway, she appeared to James to encourage him because he was there trying to evangelize the Spanish. And the Spanish were hard-headed and they wouldn't accept the gospel. And Mary told them, this will be a great nation. They will embrace the faith. Now, and she appeared standing on a pillar. That's why she's Our Lady of the Pillar. So that devotion, even though you might not accept that it goes back to the year 40 AD, it certainly goes back about 1,000 years. I mean, it's an ancient devotion in the church to Our Lady as one who gives us encouragement and strength to do the mission. So it's a beautiful devotion. And if you have any devotion to St. James, you know there's a great shrine in Spain to St. James also, Santiago de Compostela. So that's ancient devotion. Now the new one, a young man who died on this day in 2006. This is Carlo Acutis. You ever heard of Carlo Acutis? He's not a saint yet. He's blessed. Blessed Carlo Acutis. He died at age 15 in 2006. He was Italian, born in England. And he was just a normal teenager. I mean, he loved computers. He loved PlayStation. But he also loved the Eucharist. He loved the Lord. And in his devotion to the Eucharist, he used his computer skills and interest to set up a website to promote Eucharistic devotion and to make known Eucharistic miracles through all history of the church. I think that website still exists, but it was set up in 2004, 2005. So that's, in the computer world, that's ancient. That's 15 years ago. But anyway, Carlo Acutis, blessed Carlo Acutis, died at age 15, and he's seen now as something of a patron of youth, of people who use computers, and that's why I like him. And most of us have to use computers, and we have to use the internet. Well, here's a saint who used the internet and used computers, but he used it for the kingdom of God. So, from Our Lady of the Pillar to blessed Carlo Acutis, we have a very rich life of faith in the church. And so it's great to, we don't have to have devotion to every single saint. I like this little Carlo, but you might not. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have devotion to every saint, but it's good to know what it means to be part of the communion of the saints. And I'm sure you can find some saints who are good friends. They're all our friends. Okay, just that was a little preview. Now let's turn to the scriptures. We have this reading from the first chapter of the letter to the Romans. It's a little bit sharp. It's a two-edged sword, you know, living and effective, the word of God. criticizing or revealing what happens, the wrongdoing of those who are not accepting God, not believers. Generally, you'd say this is a criticism of the Gentiles. Then in the gospel, Jesus gives a sharp criticism of the Pharisees, who were Jews, who were very devout Jews. So it might look like there's two different directions here, but if you look at it a little deeper, you can see there's something revealed in both readings that's the same. Let's look first at the Gentiles. Paul here is now speaking to the Romans, and he's fulfilling his mission of proclaiming the gospel. He says the problem is that people don't accept what is revealed. They don't even accept what is revealed in creation. If you heard the reading, he said this is why these people experience the sufferings that they do, because God has made himself known to them by his creation, and they don't accept it. It's a very striking reading because it seems to apply to our day. This could have been written in 2021, and it was written way back in, 55 or something A.D. So Paul says, ever since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes of eternal power and divinity have been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. So we can look at creation and we can know something about God. We can know he's powerful. We can know he's creator. This says we can know that he deserves our honor, that we submit to him because he's the one who made us. You don't even have to have faith to know that. That's just a natural knowledge, that we should know that we're created, and so we have a duty to honor, give glory to our creator. And this is what Paul says. I've been able to be understood and perceived in what he has made. As a result, they have no excuse. So anyone who doesn't honor God has no excuse. They might not know Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know Jesus. They don't have faith. But everyone has the opportunity to know God because we're all created by God. They have no excuse, for although they knew God, they did not accord him glory as God or give him thanks. Instead, they became vain in their reasoning. That's empty. And isn't that the modern age? Vain reasoning. Reasoning that doesn't move from truth to truth. It moves from error to worse errors. And their senseless minds were darkened. While claiming to be wise, they became fools. And then they worshiped idols. Now, we don't think of modern times as being idol-worshipping times, but my goodness, we know we're worshiping money, we're worshiping power, we're worshiping political agendas, ideologies, and ourselves. So that's the modern problem. Pretty clear that Paul has an understanding of what happens with human nature when we don't honor God. We degrade ourselves. We bring the punishment of sin upon ourselves. Here he says, God handed them over to impurity. He hands over sinners, including us, to the consequences of our sins. Not all the consequences, or we would all be in hell. that's the clear. But he does let us experience the consequences of our sins and the consequences of the sins of the world. Well, that's why we live in such a messed up world, because of sin. Okay, handed over to impurity through the lusts of their hearts for the mutual degradation of their bodies, because they exchange the truth of God for a lie. Bad choice to exchange the truth for a lie. It's always right to choose the truth, even a hard truth, even a politically unacceptable truth. Truth is what sets us free. Okay, so that's one description. Now let's look for a moment at the gospel where Jesus is criticizing the Pharisees. Well, the Pharisees are criticizing him because he didn't wash his hands properly. So he didn't perform the proper safety protocol, if you want to use modern language. He didn't wash his hands as he was supposed to. And so the Pharisee is judging Jesus. And Jesus says, you're taking care of what is outside. What about what's inside? Does anybody wash the outside of a dish and not wash the inside? Well, here you are washing your hands and you're not washing your heart. You're not purifying your heart by repentance. Now, this is the thing. What the Gentiles are doing is, in their pride, rejecting what is available to us by nature. What the Pharisees are doing is, in their pride, rejecting the necessity of inner change. So Pharisees are very proud of their external observance. The Gentiles are very proud of their idolatries. If you want to put it in modern terms, you could say conservatives are very proud of their religious observance and their legal understanding. And liberals are very proud of their social concern for the poor and for the environment. It seems like two different things to us, but it's not. Because what's the root? Pride. Making ourselves the center of things is the problem. We are not God. We're not in charge of the world. We're in charge of the little part that God gives us. But our duty is to worship God. So whether we want to be pierced by the first reading or by the second reading, it all applies to our pride. It cuts us down to size. It should. And we should want to be cut down to size because that sets us free. You know, when we think that we have responsibility or we can judge the world, it's a terrible burden to carry around. And that's why a lot of people are so stressed, because they think they have to be doing it a certain way or being perfect or following all these rules in order to make their life worth living. Life is worth living because God gives it to us and we're his children. We're as precious to him as this little baby is precious to all of us, or more. We're more precious to God. And that's the good news. So that's why I like going from, again, from Our Lady of the Pilar. Our Lady, of course, is the mother of all of us, to Carlo Acutis, who's a young teenager who works on computers. And everyone in between is a child of God and called to the freedom of the children of God. What the Word of God does when it points out our sins, whether it's our idolatries or our self-righteousness, our pride, is to set us free. Free to worship him in joy, in truth, in righteousness. Okay, so that's it's good spiritual food for us, the Word of God, and it's a banquet for us. We continue the Mass by preparing for the banquet of the Eucharist.